This episode brought to you by Correlation and BankJoy. On the show today, we have First Step Alliance's very own Nancy Iden and longtime credit union leader Tom O'Shea, both on the program talking about their First Step Alliance. This is an organization that helps folks who have been incarcerated and now are out and getting their lives back together. They talk about all the challenges these folks experience, especially financially, where there's really not too many programs out there that help folks get back on their feet with a checking account, savings account, or investments, or all that, any of that type of stuff. This is a really great opportunity for credit unions to really step in and help these folks get back into the swing of things, so to speak. And Tom and Nancy are here to tell us all about it and what credit unions can do to help in this area. So check it out. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And we have a very special one for you today. A couple of fine credit union folks in the midst here. And I'm going to get started with some introductions before we get into the topic, because the topic is so, so cool. And it's so credit union as well. So I'm going to introduce, right next to me is Nancy Iden from First Step Alliance. Nancy, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks, Michael. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Oh,
you're welcome. You're welcome. And then here's a familiar face right below us, Mr. Tom O'Shea, who's been a credit union leader for 40 odd years, as he puts it. 40 odd. Is the odd really in there, Tom?
Sometimes it's odd, yes, but thanks, Mike. It's great to talk.
Oh, you're welcome. No, I'm just playing with you. You know, you've been a fantastic leader in our industry for many, many years and continue to do so. So doing some great, great things. All right. Today, we're talking about the First Step Alliance, and we're talking about returning citizens, getting back into society, how they can do. There's so many angles to this, and we're going to take it from the financial perspective today. And Tom, I'm going to let you get started on this one, because kind of get you kind of lay the land here. So before we get started with some of the issues with returning citizens, talk to us about some of these issues that are going on with folks kind of getting back into society after they've served their time, basically.
Yeah. So I had read an article back in October of 2020 in the Wall Street Journal about reentering prisoners that are reentering society, where they get all the other services they need from employment and housing, but there's no one helping them on financial services. And the problem is they don't, right from the get-go, they don't have a driver's license. They don't have the typical IDs that we have, because often they've lost their license through the incarceration or their penalty process, can't get it back until they pay their fines and their fees. So they have a difficult time even onboarding into credit unions or the financial services system, mm-hmm. mainstream services. And also their credit typically goes down while they're in prison. Typically they lose around 32 points to their credit score for each year
that
they're incarcerated. So by the time they come out, they have no ID that we're accustomed to seeing,
yeah.
And their credit's gone to down the crapper as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're forced then to use payday lenders, check cashiers, cash-based society, which becomes very expensive when you're dealing with them, and very dangerous because you're walking around with cash. So it makes it far more difficult to get into the mainstream, and
right.
then even not even think about credit, because they've got to restart the credit process as well. So it's mm-hmm. start to get ahead. So that, you know, that's the basis of what we're dealing with here. And that's the problem that Nancy and First Step Alliance is out to try to solve.
Okay. And Nancy, that comes to you. I mean, Tom has set you up nicely here. So tell us a little bit about First Step Alliance, what you guys do there, and then we'll dive into the details of what you guys are doing right now from a financial perspective.
Yeah, sure. And I think, Tom, the article that you're referring to was actually in the Wall Street Journal. And they actually also mentioned, even at that point, our new, our de novo credit union initiative, which is also a part of this much larger picture here. I mean, we're starting... Just to give you some framework here, First Step Alliance we've started this initiative a couple of years ago to address some of these systemic lack of access to mainstream banking services. Yep. As Tom mentioned, there are other issues besides the few that Tom has mentioned too, around the compliance systems that credit unions and banks typically use, which are very historical in nature and do not actually allow somebody to get on a path of redemption here, so to speak.
Right.
And so part of what we're doing here with First Step Alliance is we've recognize the fact that the traditional scoring metrics really don't work for this population. Of course, you know, as Tom alluded to, with a very low credit score or getting red flagged on a system like check systems, you're going to get knocked out of the box from the get-go. And so we're part of what we're doing here, and I think it's extremely important, is developing alternative scoring metrics so that people can qualify for credit, so that they can qualify to open even the credit union account, which is not happening. 80% of financial institutions actually use systems like check systems, which is, of course, for those that don't know, which I'm sure your audience does, a risk-based system to evaluate new customers. And again, if that is sort of the black box model that's being used, most people won't qualify in terms of being even able to open an account.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of years ago, as I said, we recognized the fact that this was a very marginalized population, highly unbanked for all of these reasons. And we wanted to do something to change the narrative. My own background here in financial services as well, and really being exposed to financial education, underserved communities in the credit union world, kind of got me thinking also, and having some specific direct family involvement here, and realizing, just talking to many, many people over the last couple of years, how marginalized the community is. You know, you've really got a life sentence on a number of different levels, even if you're out of prison. You've served your time.
Exactly.
But yet you still can't get a job. Housing is an issue. And certainly the access to financial services is an issue as well.
Yeah. As you guys are talking, this just seems so backwards. You know, it's like, I'm assuming there's got to be pardon my ignorance here, but I'm assuming there's got to be there's some programs to help these folks get back into mainstream society, like you're talking about, without all these hurdles that would just make it, just that much more difficult to get back into the swing of things, so to speak. It's just, it looks like you want to respond there.
Yeah, there are reentry programs all over the country that work with local of state, federal prison systems to help reintegrate this population into society. But what we found is no one is addressing the financial services issue. They're addressing housing, and then they're working with them and their families from a social work standpoint. But as far as getting them into mainstream financial services, low cost services, we're not seeing it. I went so far, I was talking to a company that does digital onboarding. And I asked, this is a couple of weeks ago, and I said, when somebody comes on board, let's say they go to through their phone, they want to open an account with an institution. Do you accept prison IDs or parole IDs as a legitimate ID that you can process?
Yeah.
They said, no, they can't. They look for just a driver's license. They have all 50 state driver's licenses in their database, but they don't even accept something as basic as a parole card, which is a federally issued or state issued ID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we're at such a base level here of need that they're in a really tough place, and we're not passing judgment. You know, these people serve their time, like Nancy said, serve their time. If we can help reduce recidivism, and there has been studies done that show that we can reduce, by getting them into mainstream financial services, we could reduce recidivism by about 20 basis points, which is significant. I mean, that's that's a benefit to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And but if they can't even get an ID that's accepted, let alone open an account and start writing checks or debit card services or whatnot, it's crazy.
Yeah, because you want to be a part. You want to feel like you're a part of the mainstream system, getting back into the swing of things again. You want to feel a part of that. You got to have that connection. And man, it sounds like there's just so many hurdles for them to get back to that. Just that basic stuff that we take for granted. So, absolutely. Nancy?
Yes, no, tremendous hurdles. And as Tom mentioned, the reentry programs do, I think, a great job with helping people find employment, temporary or transitional housing. In some of the ones that I'm familiar with, great people, really just a lot of them are formerly incarcerated themselves, trying to help others in the community. Mental health services is another thing that a lot of people desperately need. Some of them, unfortunately, still have addiction issues. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of foundational things that need to be addressed beyond financial services. But what the resounding theme here, though, is that very few are offering any direction, any sort of coaching, financial education, or if they do, they're working with our friends on the banking side who are coming in and just doing sort of these one-off webinar or seminars or webinars now on budgeting 101, credit 101, banking 101. And there's sort of this one and done. There's no real financial journey or credit counseling that's being provided. Right. A lot of these folks really have problems with debt management, with money management. They've never really even learned any of these concepts for whatever reason. And they really need this foundational knowledge in order to understand how all of these pieces sort of fit together. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, with this acquired knowledge, being able to access the banking services, which are so important for them to really, you know, start to create a long-term path to financial wellness and build wealth and really do all the things that they should be entitled to do, just like the rest of us.
Exactly.
But I just also wanted to comment on Tom's mentioning of the prison ideas, because that is actually what we're doing with our pilot program, which we have going right now with my friend Linda Bodie. I'll give Linda a shout out here. Yeah, over at Element Credit Union. Yeah. And basically taking an alternative form of identification, because as Tom mentioned, a lot of these folks don't have their driver's license or government issued ID. And what we've discovered is that the prison ID is a photo ID. It's a form of government ID, obviously. And it should be considered as a valid ID, which we're experimenting with, and which there are a couple of other credit unions, by the way, that are accepting that as an alternative form of ID as well. So I'm very excited about, you know, just kind of our thinking outside of the box here and really trying to give people that are otherwise being shut out of the system a chance here to restart their lives.
And that kind of segues into the Fresh Start Initiative. Tom, you want to take that one?
Sure.
Tell us all about that.
Yeah, there are a number of components to this, the program. And like Linda, like Nancy said, the very first part, and it's a foundational part, is the financial education program. So we're working with a firm known as, the acronym is COFFEE, Knowledge of Financial Education. And to get into the program, our program, you have to start with this financial education, because you need that foundation. Know how money works, know what credit is, know how your credit score works and what affects it, how to write a check, things like that.
Exactly.
So that's the first step. And that First Step Alliance then tracks people that are going into and coming through that program. So we know they've met that initial first step. Second thing is we're doing is we're developing a playbook that credit unions could use to onboard and then provide services to this population. So the onboarding, as we've just discussed, with the prison IDs or the parole cards, what that process looks like, how to deal with the compliance issues and the KYC, so you can get work with NCUA, and we could talk about them in a minute as well. But so we can get through, and they can be comfortable that they're offering a product that's compliant and legitimate, and they can sleep at night that you know it's going to work for them. The third part, and this is where First Step Alliance really comes through, is First Step Alliance works with the parole systems and the reentry programs around the country to bring members to the various credit unions that are part of our network.
Okay.
So that's like the source. So we were able to collect a lot of data from who these people are, where they're coming from. They've gone through the financial education, and then we get feedback from the credit unions as far as the success and the uses of services, balances, if they've extended any credit, and so on. The last two components then do get into some credit, one being some mentoring and some with SCORE, or getting maybe helping them with SBA loans or small personal loans or used car loans even.
Yeah.
So we want to work with the credit unions, work with the clients to help them through that. A lot of these people are very entrepreneurial. They have issues with authority, but they can work and create businesses on their own and do their own thing. So we want to help them succeed if that's the avenue they want to take.
Right on.
And we also, for the final pieces, we envision also a level of credit support for this, so that we can work with family funds and philanthropic organizations to support and pay for some of the losses that we might see through credit granting. So there's a lot of companies and groups out there that'll help us in that regard to fund the loans. Mm-hmm. As well. That, in a nutshell, that's what we're looking at.
Fantastic. And so what sparked this? I mean, Nancy, you want to take this? I mean, just real quickly, what sparked this? Because, I mean, obviously the intentions are incredible here. So what got this idea rolling, especially on the financial services side? Sure.
Well, I think I've sort of briefly alluded to it earlier. First of all, there are over 600,000 people coming home from prison every year. There's also another over 2 million on parole or probation. And the latest numbers I heard, which are sort of staggering, I think there are over 100 million people in this country with some sort of a felony conviction.
Wow.
I thought it was more like 25 million, but I just read it. This just absolutely staggering. And yeah. I don't know how much you know about the history in this country, the recent history with mass incarceration 40, 50 years ago, which started with, get tough on drugs, the war on drugs. And it's just kind of gone sort of, to the extreme, especially in those years, but even still continuing today in some cases, with just being overly punitive, in terms of the level of incarceration. And then post-incarceration, a lot of people are talking about things like restorative justice, which still largely does not exist in this country, and just the whole rehabilitative aspect. And so, again, what got me started here, thinking with my own background in financial services and what was actually out there for this population. And then coincidentally, there was a House Financial Services Committee hearing in September on this very subject, which was, I think they called it something like access denied, the challenges that formerly incarcerated folks are facing in the banking system. And we actually wrote a letter for the record. We were asked to be a potential witness in that hearing. And we actually just wrote a letter for the record. But this is actually starting to get on the radar of politicians. That committee is chaired by Maxine Waters, mm-hmm. as an example. It's on the radar of the NCUA. And I guess we can talk about that in a minute. It's definitely more on the radar of the credit union industry. It's part of a larger DEI sort of, diversity, equity, inclusion concerns that, have finally, been recognized more so in this country. But I think that the idea here is that people have been really marginalized for their entire lives in some mm-hmm. cases. And how are we going to help them, get on a different path? How are we going to break the cycle or help? I mean, we're not going to sort of solve the problems of the world here, but how are we going to help break the cycle of recidivism, and really give people all the tools that they need in the fight as much as we can as credit mm-hmm. unions to help people get back on their feet.
Indeed. Yeah. And Tom, I'm going to come to you on the NCUA part of it. So what's their role in all of this?
Well, I'm going to
raise their one,
but cause she's been having conversation. Nancy's been having conversation.
Oh, okay.
NCUA board members, and then some follow-ups with the staff. So you want to talk a little bit? I've brought this to CUNA just very recently. So CUNA is aware of this.
Okay. Okay.
Filene has been doing some studies on this as well. So they mm-hmm. have an initiative as well. But Nance can touch on the NCUA piece.
Yeah. I mean, we've had several very productive calls with Vice Chair Hauptmann, mm-hmm. with Sarah Bang as well, mm-hmm. with the individual that is responsible for chartering new credit unions. And they have all been extremely welcoming, and they all believe that this is an extremely important initiative and are encouraging us to start the chartering process. And so, I don't know how much you know about the current NCUA new charter process. It's kind of an exercise in ultimate patience, among other things, but they have certain reforms, shall we say, that they're looking to put in place to make that process easier for de novos. And I'm looking forward to starting that process very shortly. Hopefully it won't take the 5 to 8 years that unfortunately some other new credit unions have experienced. They've promised that they have, definitely they're aware of some of these issues, and they really want to work with us to get this done. We also have some political support. We've reached out to Senator Cory Booker's office, and they're highly supportive of this initiative as well. And I'm very excited because I think finally all of these sort of ducks are aligning here in a row. And I believe that now is the time to really get moving and get this thing done. I think everyone is paying attention now.
Yeah, it sounds like 2022 could be a year of tremendous change for you guys. Absolutely. Big steps moving forward. Yeah. So having said that, Tom, so what can credit unions in general do right now? Obviously, the NCUA is involved. You got CUNA involved now. I'm sure a lot of the other associations are gonna jump in too. So what can credit unions do themselves?
Well, there's a couple of things on this. And as you've heard, you consider the vine, this is a two-prong approach. The first being, we're developing this package of product and services that credit unions can then use. So they can work with us in offering this through their credit unions. So that's number one.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Number two, the second prong, of course, is we're trying to charter a credit union, which is a longer term process. But the other thing credit unions can do today is help us fund all of this.
There you go. Okay.
Donations are gladly accepted. Because we're working with technology companies, we're working with data processors, credit reporting companies on modifying their systems or understanding their systems so that they can provide us with historical credit data on people. So we don't need credit data when they were incarcerated, but what kind of credit did they have prior to that? So there's work on their part. So those are the couple of things that are really the important right now. Support the initiative, help fund it, and then support the credit union that we hope to develop.
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, like me, a lot of folks out there could use a good education in this area as well. So, I mean,
yes, we're trying to get that
to a lot of folks.
People like you and other initiatives. I had presented this to the Aloya Executive Symposium in September, and we took first place and got a $10,000 grant.
Congratulations.
For this, which was really great. That goes to First Step Alliance. And we have some other grant applications that we've submitted or are submitting in the coming days and months, because it's going to take some money to get it funded.
A little bit. Most things do. Most worthwhile, especially worthwhile things like this. So to wrap up here, what are some goals, and then where can folks find out more information? Nancy, you want to take the goals, and then Tom, you can take the where folks can go.
Sure. So we do have, our short-term goals are really to continue to increase awareness for what we're doing here, both with the credit union industry as well as with our community. And we continue to do that partnering with reentry programs and with government agencies. We have our programs available in New York City correctional facilities, with a Pennsylvania technology company for folks on parole and probation, with a Mississippi reentry program, and with a Virginia nonprofit who's actually doing microlending to this community. And we're very excited about the partnership there. I think that might be the only organization that I'm aware of that specifically does microlending, car loans and business loans mainly for members of this community. So short term, it's really to continue developing our community or increasing our community outreach. We've got, a pretty decent social media presence that we're also looking to expand. And then developing and rolling out this program that thank you very much to Aloya and to US Alliance for sponsoring us here for that program, and working to create the metrics that credit unions will feel comfortable with in order to open accounts for these individuals. Mm-hmm. So that's our short-term goal. Okay. And then in parallel with that, we're also hopefully going to start our new charter application process. I think the only thing that's holding us back at this point is the capital, as Tom mentioned, because I think the NCUA likes to see roughly $1 million in minimum capital in order to feel comfortable with moving forward. Rightfully so, because you really won't be able to develop the platform, to any larger extent with something less than that. So we're really busy trying to raise those funds, and we've got a couple of very interested parties. And lastly, I would love to be able to partner with credit unions, on a mentorship basis as well as we roll this thing out, and for future shared resources. So kind of a full plate.
All right. Yes. Yes, you do have a full plate, but it's all good. So Tom, and where can folks go to find out more information?
Yep. So to get information, firststepalliance.org.
Okay.
F-I-R-S-T, firststepalliance.org. And there's a contact link on there. And we could provide summaries of the program, some of the studies to support some of the facts and figures that we've talked about, and get them more information and see how they can get involved as well.
Okay. Well, this is a great, actually, I think this is a great story for the holiday season, Thanksgiving, and then the holiday season coming up. I think it's perfect. So I can't wait to get this one posted, but you guys are doing some phenomenal work. So thank you. So thanks, Tom, for bringing this to our attention as well. I'm more than happy to get the word out there for you. And Nancy, thank you for all the hard work that you guys are doing. And we'll definitely help you guys out in 2022 to keep that momentum going. So it sounds like you got some good momentum going already. So well done. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time and the invitation again.
Oh, anytime, anytime. And let's keep us posted, and we'll have you back on maybe periodically to see where you guys are in this whole process.
That'd be great.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Nancy, thank you. Tom, thank you. And happy holidays to each of you and your families, and all the hard work that you guys are doing. Thank you for that as well. So good stuff.
Same to you and your family.
Thank you.